Let's face it, the world is just a messy place. There's probably not one of us that hasn't heard a lesson or some information at some point and said, hey, with all that's going on around me, what difference does that make? I'm Dr. Mike Courtney. I'm a counselor, a lifelong recoverer, a husband, a father, a business owner, a grandfather, and I love to ask this question, what difference does that make? Welcome to What Difference Does That Make? A few weeks ago, I started teaching a systematic theology class for our Wednesday night group at my church. For those of you who don't know, I'm not a pastor. I'm a member of the church, but they've given me this wonderful platform to allow me to teach this. And so we have taken these 45-minute or so conversations about what we believe, our theology, and we've tried to cut this into 12 to 15 minute bits and present it to you here on What Difference Does That Make. We won't do this forever, but for the next few weeks at least, we'll share with you bits and pieces. So we started out last week. We began talking about the Bible, what we believe about the Bible. This is part two of that conversation. If you didn't hear last week, then go back and listen to that. But this is part two of that conversation of what we believe about the Bible. Now, let me say two things. One, this is a work in progress. I'm figuring this out. Hopefully the editing is getting better. I'm kind of learning how to do this as I go. So bear with me. It will get better and better, I believe. The second thing is, this is a live recording. There are times where I ask the audience, someone to share something. And so there might be a little bit of a blank space or just a spot that we cut out that you'll kind of, the gist of it is there. You might not know exactly what was said in the background. I'm trying to remember to repeat those things so that it is on this recording. However, whatever, here we are. What difference does that make? What do we believe about the Bible? Part two. Thanks for listening today.
There are four thoughts in that that kind of came to my mind that I think this is right. This is the gospel according to me, and so if this is wrong, you know, I sometimes say I have to hear myself say something, know what I think about it. But I think this is right. I think some things that I acknowledge about the Bible that make it unique and different and are a part of this whole understanding are these four things. It is self-referential. The Bible is one of maybe it's the only book that proves itself. You know, it just proves itself. You read something in Genesis and it doesn't happen till you get to Revelation and you say, oh, wow, it finally, yes, it proves itself. Let me just do two. Genesis 49:10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet. I have no idea what that means. There are references in the Old Testament that are promised or predicted that come to pass in the New Testament. The Bible is one of the few books that proves itself. It's self-referential. Oh, Jeremiah 31:15. This isn't a fun one, but let's read that. A voice in Ramah, a woman weeping for her children because they are no more. Here is a passage of Scripture in Jeremiah that says there's going to come a time when mothers are going to weep and cannot be comforted because their children are no more. And now Matthew writes this story. And so self-referential. That's important. It's important. It's externally evidenced. This is not just, you know, you got to take the Bible. So the Bible says Christians believe that. Just the Bible. It doesn't say this anywhere else. Just the Bible. It is externally evidenced. There are great people. Josh McDowell is one of them. There are people who have taken the time to discover what outside of Scripture verifies it. What evidences are outside of Scripture? I'll just give you three. Micaiah, I have no idea if I pronounced that right. Micaiah, Pharaoh of Egypt, was buried in a pyramid. His tomb, he was buried about 1000 BC. His tomb was dug up in the 1950s. And this inscription was, and among the many inscriptions, this inscription: his enemy was the king of Israel, the house of David. David, if you're going to prove anybody in the Bible, David might be a pretty important one to prove. So there's all kinds of external evidence that says King David really was. He really existed. And we dig up an Egyptian pharaoh and find that to be true. Andrew Yom Minfal in 2004 took an expedition to Mount Ararat in Turkey and finally discovered some remnants of what they firmly believe is the Ark, Noah's expedition. And they moved that to Williamsburg, Kentucky, and you can go there and see it now. No, I've just made that part up. But so there's scientific archaeological evidence for the Ark. And then you all know this one, Flavius Josephus, who is one of a renowned Jewish historian, not a Christian, writes extensively of the crucifixion and of this man from Nazareth who did amazing miracles. Flavius Josephus testifies to Jesus outside of Scripture. It has nothing to do with Scripture. It's externally evidence. It's historically validated. I just thought this was interesting. Three or four things. Homer, great early Greek hero, Homer, wrote some things 400 years from the time he said it until it's finally put down. 400 years went by. And there are known today about 1,800 copies of that manuscript, or early original copies, about 1,800. Herodotus, who's one of the foundational Greek philosophers, Herodotus wrote, and that was not put down until 1,300 years later, and there are today about 109 original manuscripts of that, pieces or portions of that. Plato, I mean, you can't do 10th grade high school philosophy without studying Plato. His famous Pleiades, where he talks about formed, higher forms and all those things, that was not put down until 1,300 years after he spoke it, and there are today about 210 copies of that, original pieces of that. The New Testament started to be put in print about 45 to 50 years after it all came to be. And there are original early manuscripts, just bits and pieces and little tiny things, 18,520 portions of that. It is historically validated. There's just bits and pieces. Nowhere did we dig up a whole Bible, but there's bits and pieces that far outnumber any other historian. And nobody, I dare you go into a college philosophy class and say, well, I don't think Plato really existed. You know, I think he's just something that we just created because there's not that much written about him, that you'd flunk and they'd run you out of town. But with 18,000 bits and pieces, we say, well, I don't know if Jesus really existed. I don't know if that's true or not. So it's historically, and then finally, it's anecdotally evidenced. It is the one book where story after story after story is told of lives changed and communities made different and cultures turned around because of the Bible. During this time when Doris was not well, and so we were doing it. So, by the way, her not being well was just a ploy to get two rooms remodeled in our house that she's won't remodel. So I've been painting and remodeling for 10 days. And so I was going through some books. In fact, I found a little New Testament that said, this New Testament was loaned to Charles Courtney when he went to paratrooper school to jump out of planes during the Korean War. It's my dad's little New Testament. Yeah. Who thought, take this little book and it'll take, and nobody says, hey, here, you know, take this, Pride and Prejudice. Take this with you. Put it in your pocket. It'll keep you safe when you... No. But there are all kinds of anecdotal stories about the power of Scripture to change lives. Well, really, really fast, five statements I think are crucial. Number one, the Bible is a library and not a book. There are a lot of different authors, a lot of different audiences, a lot of different cultures, a lot of different languages, and a lot of different styles. And I don't go to the Murfreesboro Library and go to the poetry section to find something to help me fix my washing machine. I don't do that. And the Bible is like that, you know. And you want to know how to bring your children up right. Don't read them the Song of Solomon every night. I'm just telling you, it's not going to work. There's a lot of different types of scripture, a lot of different reasons. So it's a library. It's not a book. The second thing is, the Bible was not written in chapters and verses. The Bible was not written. Shannon, I'm going to put you on the spot. What is the number one rule for selling real estate? Location, location, location. What's the number one rule for reading your Bible? Context, context, context. No, when it says therefore, then figure out what the therefore is there for. And know what comes before and what comes after. The context is important. And there are scripture verses. Train up a child in the way that he should go. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. For God so loved the world. You don't have to say any more than that. And your heart is stirred. But it's not good enough to read the Bible that way. It's not written in chapters and verses. And so know the context. What, and I'm going to give you a homework assignment, believe it or not. There's going to be homework. Here's the third thing now. The Bible was written for us, but not to us. It was written for us, but not to us. And that's really, really important. Ezekiel 9:6, God says, kill them all. Kill them all. Women, children, babies, kill them all. He didn't write that to me. He wrote it for me. There's a lesson there for me to learn, and it's hard work to dig. But that's not for me. Deuteronomy 21:15. If a man has two wives, and he loves the one and hates the other, God did not write that to me. He wrote it for me. There's some things, but that's not the. What do you mean? Here's one. 1 Corinthians 14:34. Women keep silent in the church. Well, okay, that one God did write for us, but I'm just kidding. I'm simply saying that we can't take the Bible word for word and say, oh, this is to us. It's not to us. It was for us, but we need to know the story. Number four, don't let the Bible say less than it says. Don't let it say more than it does. I've said that to you before. I don't make it say more than it does, but don't let it say less than it does. I mean, stay with the Bible. Number five, and this is from the Bible Project, but it's a great statement. The Bible is a unified story that points to Jesus. I jotted down just four things, and you could write 40. Abraham offering Isaac. What's that make you think of? For God so loved the world. Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness. And I, except I be high and lifted up. Jonah in the whale. And after 3 days, I'll come back and restore the temple. Isaiah 11:1. And a branch will spring up out of the stump of Jesse. It is a unified story. And from Genesis 1 to Revelation, it points to Jesus. That's the whole point of the Bible. And that is infallible. There's not a mistake in that anywhere. That's what we believe about the Bible. It's a unified story that points to Jesus. Okay, real fast, homework assignment. I really challenge you to do this. I just try this. Prayerfully choose a passage or a pericope. A pericope is just another word for a kind of a thought. Prayerfully choose a passage. Write it down in your own words. Write it in your own words. Here's what this says. And then answer these three questions. What did this say to them? Now, in order to answer that, you kind of have to know who is the them and why is it being written. What did this say to them? Second question, what does this say to us? And here's the hardest question. how would my life be different if I put this into practice today? Is that okay? What's it say to them? What's it say to us? And how would my life be different? Here's a famous theological statement. The Bible, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the Bible. God bless you.
What Difference Does That Make with Dr. Mike Courtney is part of the Mana 3 Media Network. It is hosted by Dr. Mike Courtney and is produced and edited by me, David Wilkinson. We'd love for you to subscribe to What Difference Does That Make wherever podcasts are downloaded. Be sure to check out our episode show notes. You can learn more about Branches Counseling Center on Facebook and Instagram, and you can check out more podcasts by Mana 3 Media on Instagram at Mana 3 Media. That's MANA, 3 Media.